Hello, everyone. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here with me today and for sharing your light with me. I am always grateful for the hearts that come together for these kind of deep, meaningful, soulful conversations, and I don't ever take it for granted. This is a special group of people that's on the phone tonight. So if you are on this call, you are probably someone who's either going through or healing from a breakup now, or is someone who's considering a breakup and just not sure how to move forward. So this is what this call is about. First of all, I want you to know that you're not alone, because if you had any idea of the number of people that reach out to me as a life coach and speaker who are struggling with this, you would know that even though we don't talk a lot about it in our culture as much as maybe we should, I want you to know that you're not alone. Breakups are notoriously painful and destructive for people that are involved in them. And as much as we would like, no one really gets out of them unscathed. But what if there was a way to find peace, even in the midst of something as scary as a breakup? What if there was a way that you could honor your own voice and needs and minimize the collateral damage in the process? And what if there was a way to release all the anger and frustration in an effort to demonstrate compassion first towards yourself and then maybe towards your partner? But this tonight here is about you. My intention for the next hour is to help light the path for you and introduce you to the principles of what I call the compassionate breakup. And my purpose is to give you hope that you can think about your breakup in a new way, a way that is loving and powerful and compassionate, mostly for you. And think about it in a way that is absolutely possible. So that's what the next 60 minutes are about. Before we get started, I want to share with you a quote that I came across today, and I love serendipity. I love it when things come across my plate at just the perfect time. There's a quote that actually I'm going to quote twice tonight. And if you have never seen the book Soul Cravings from an author named Erwin Raphael McManus, check it out. It's amazing. And there's a quote in there that says, "Without hope, your life may not come to an end, but it does come to a stop." And so that's what tonight is about. It's giving us all some hope that there is peace, even in the chaos, that there's peace. So I want to share with you a little about me and my story. For those of you that don't quite know, I had the nice, handsome husband. We lived in a four-bedroom home out in suburbia. We had nice cars. We took vacations. We had a wide circle of friends and loving families. I had a good corporate job with a pension and a 401k. I had one dog and no children. And I had no reason to be unhappy. But I was. You see, I was unhappy and I was lonely in my marriage. I had met my husband in graduate school at the ripe old age of 24. And I knew he wouldn't lie, cheat, or leave me, as some past boyfriends had done in my early 20s. But what I didn't know at that very young age is that there's very little passion in the safe approach. So you see, my husband and I, we had love for one another, but we were never lovers, if that makes sense. We didn't cuddle, caress, lose time together. We never awoke in each other's arms, and we rarely had deep, meaningful conversations. You see, he didn't require me to share too much of my soul with him, so I could stay safe and hidden, but not necessarily in love. And for a while, that was okay. But at some point, our souls need more. I became exceptional during that time at leading everybody around me to believe that I had it all together all the time. I had all the things that I was supposed to have, and I did all the things that I was supposed to do. My life, from anyone else's perspective, looked pretty darn good. From the outside, they would say, oh, they've got it all going on. They've got it together. But I was dying inside, and I was suppressing my needs. And giving a voice to my desires during that time seemed pretty selfish. And after a while, it started to feel kind of destructive. So I hid. And by hiding, I created a distance between myself and everybody else because I didn't really want anyone to see me. So I hid behind this enormous wall that it was impossible for anyone to scale. Not my friends, not my family, and not my husband could get beyond that wall. No one knew how lonely I was. And hiding behind that wall, frankly, it just became exhausting. So after 11 years of marriage, I separated from my husband and continued trying to outrun that loneliness that I had created in my life. You see, I wasn't necessarily running from this kind man that I had married. I was running from the lonely and the distant life, of which, as I look back, he was just an innocent party to it all and a witness to it all. And I felt simultaneously both incredible guilt and unbelievable freedom. And so I didn't always know what to do with that. And so what did I do? But I began playing with fire. I met a man named Michael through some mutual friends. He was tall and broad-shouldered, very muscular, and devilishly handsome. His confidence and charm commanded a lot of attention, and it didn't take long for he and I to establish a connection, and we both became caught in this vortex of these intense feelings and emotions and quickly falling for one another. And I gave him my heart, my mind, and my soul. Now, understand, I had never done that. In my 11 years of marriage, I didn't do it. I hadn't done it ever. So I'd finally come out from behind that wall and allowed someone to really see me, all of my joy and all of my pain, all of my love and all of my insecurities. I had never allowed anyone that far into my heart before, and he was like oxygen for me during a time when, frankly, I was on life support. But playing with fire is a very predictable activity, and not surprisingly, I got burned. So soon after he told me that he loved me, Michael began pulling away. He began seeing other women and making me feel suddenly very unimportant in his very big life. So he had awakened feelings in me that I had never felt before. And I was terrified that without him, I would never feel them again. I was afraid of going back to that numb existence I felt when I was married. So I was heartbroken, and there were times, I'll tell you, that I could hardly pull myself off the couch. I dropped probably 25 pounds and was on a diet of both antidepressants and sleeping pills. I went out and drank every night to numb myself and avoid going home and facing the truth of my life and facing some of the important questions that I just was not ready to face yet. I think I shed more tears in the months that followed that breakup than I had my entire life. So what did I do? I continued trying to find a man, that could fill that emptiness that I felt in my heart, right? Because sometimes we think that that emptiness that we feel can be filled by somebody else, which is never true. So at one point, I just stopped. I just stopped it all. I put a big pause button on my love life because nothing was working. And there's a big difference when it comes to love between effort and force. You see, there's nothing wrong with making an effort in a relationship. It's actually required that you make an effort in a relationship in order for it to be successful. But when it feels more like force than effort, something's wrong. And I was forcing. So I stopped. I just stopped. And I got still. I forced myself to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. I forced myself to get comfortable with being alone. So I journaled to try to make sense of what was happening in my life. And what was amazing, as I was trying to make sense of what was happening in my life, I kept coming across other women that were having the exact same experiences. So my journaling eventually turned into a book that was a memoir and self-help book. It's called Life, Love, Lies, and Lessons. Those experiences were by far the most difficult period of my life, but they were also the catalyst for the most profound change and growth in my life, because I'd finally stopped running and hiding, and I spent the next 2 years answering the difficult questions of my life. Now, understand, I wasn't a life coach then, so I didn't have any tools to help me through this like I do now. I hadn't set out to deliberately cause pain to my ex-husband, another human being. I didn't do that on purpose, but there was no denying that I had hurt my ex-husband when I left. I didn't wish him harm, and in fact, I got to a place where I truly hoped that he would find someone that could love him and adore him in a way that I couldn't. He deserved the same kind of wholehearted, healthy, big love that I was seeking. I just wasn't the woman that could provide that. So I'll answer the question for those of you that are sort of wondering. Yes, I'm happy to report that he has, in fact, found someone that loves and adores him. But I really think virtually everyone, not everybody, okay, but almost everybody deserves abundance in love. Just sometimes we fall into the wrong arms. I deserve it. You deserve it. My ex-husband deserves it. My ex-boyfriends deserve it. Almost everybody deserves it. I didn't set out to get my heart broken, but in fact I did. And when your heart is broken, there's this opening, this small space for the light to get through. And I'm here to tell you that that light led me to truth, to beauty, compassion, freedom, and most importantly, self-love. So the other quote that I wanted to share with you from Soul Cravings tonight, he says, this is again, Erwin Raphael McManus, "We underestimate the healing power of truth. We also underestimate how desperately our souls long for truth. Our souls crave truth. We want to know the truth. We need to know the truth." And then he goes on and he says, "We find health in an environment of truthfulness, even when the truth is more painful than the lie." And the reason for that is because, and this is me talking, not him anymore, but the reason for that is because when you live in the lie, you're stuck. You're stuck in this place of sadness. But as soon as you start facing the truth, and as soon as you start turning your head towards that light, that's when the peace can come in. See, we were created by love, and we were created for love. And trying to deny it just doesn't work for very long. So relationships break, and breakups create that small space. So then that gives us a choice. We can make the choice to shut down and not let the light in, and we can sit there in our anger, in our pain, in our bitterness, or we can turn our face towards that light. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do with me today. Find the courage to acknowledge that light that's trying to get through. Whether you're in the midst of a breakup, you're trying to heal from a breakup, or maybe you're even considering leaving a relationship in order to honor your own heart, know that that light is just as available to you as the dark. They're both incredibly powerful, and you, in fact, get to choose. So this class tonight, this is for you. If you've just experienced a breakup and you're just not sure what to do next, if you're experiencing profound sadness after the loss of a relationship, if you've ever said the words, I don't know how to do this on my own, if you're feeling stuck or numb or lonely in your current relationship and are considering leaving, or maybe you're like me where if the thought of leaving is just as frightening as the thought of staying, then this is for you. So after tonight's class, I want you to see that when we see through the eyes of compassion, mostly for ourselves, breakups can be both painful and powerful. They can be both scary and courageous. And they can be both tender and transformative. So tonight, we're going to cover the five most powerful questions that you can ask yourself when you're in the midst of a breakup. If you don't have a pen and paper handy yet, get one, because you're going to want to write some of this down. There's going to be some things that will resonate with you, some others that won't, but you're going to want to get the things that do. We're also going to cover how holding on to anger and frustration will actually prevent you from getting what it is that you really want. We're going to talk about how to honor your heart and your own needs without causing drama and pain in your life. We're going to identify what keeps us stuck and understand, most importantly, how to break free. And lastly, we're going to cover how being compassionate to yourself can actually lead to the miracle, and it is a miracle, of a compassionate breakup. So I'm going to teach you as much as I can in the limited time that we have together, but I promise at the end of the call, I will show you how you can find out more information if you'd like to take it further for yourself. So just ask that you hold your questions until the end so that I can give you as much helpful information as possible during the short time that we have together. I want to be really respectful of your time and give you as much information in the next, we're down to 40 minutes. As possible. So let's begin. As a truth-telling life coach, I have women from all over the world reaching out to me asking things like, Sharon, your story is my story. And I no longer want to be married, but I don't know how to leave. Or my husband left me for another woman, and now I'm on my own as a single mother. Or I broke up with my boyfriend of 9 years, and now I'm trying to figure out who I am outside of this relationship. Now, this is a judgment-free zone. It is always a judgment-free zone with me. No matter what it is you've done, I can assure you I've either done it or heard about it. So none of this is for me to judge or, frankly, for me to fix. This is for me to be a witness along your journey. And so what I can do is provide some light in what can traditionally be a pretty dark place for people. Now, compassion and breakup are not typically used in the same sentence together, are they? As a matter of fact, you know, how often do you hear about a breakup of a relationship between two people that isn't filled with angst and pain and fear? I mean, that's happened, right? But you hear about those couples from time to time that have managed to do it, particularly, you know, when there's children involved. But it's certainly the exception rather than the rule, isn't it? And sometimes we look at those people and go, gosh, I wish I had that, or how did you do that? And that's because we're not taught how to do this in a healthy way. And this is not just for the benefit of our children, although that's an incredibly important and certainly is a motivator, but it's for ourselves, for our own peace. Because when we're at peace, so are your kids, so is everybody else. Sometimes relationships break and they just can't be saved. And I believe that if we are able to ask ourselves five simple but powerful questions, we can literally change the course of what could otherwise be a painful and damaging experience. So as I go through these five questions, figure out what rings true for you. Maybe you're like me and all five of them ring true. Question number one, and it's a big one. Where and when did I abandon myself? Emotionally, physically, spiritually, where did you neglect and abandon yourself as it relates to this relationship? Did you try to make someone else responsible for your happiness? Maybe pass that responsibility of your happiness along to someone else because it was just too much, or you just didn't know any better at the time? Were you looking for someone to love you enough that you might learn to love yourself in the process? Was it more important to be what everyone else expected you to be than to let your true heart come out and play and be really seen? Did you allow other voices to drown out your own? Did you put everybody else's needs before your own, so that there was nothing left in the tank at the end of the day for you or your relationship, and that's where things started to fall apart? Did you start to attempt to control others to avoid the difficult questions of your life? Sometimes control, I wrote a chapter in my book, and it was called Control Should Be a Four-Letter Word. But when we get uncertain, and we don't want to face some of the difficult questions, what we do is we try to control other people around us. Did you even for a moment believe that you weren't somehow worthy of real, honest, transformative love, so you settled in your life? Take a moment just to reflect on what rings true for you. Knowing that you're not alone, there's no judgment, because we've all abandoned ourselves from time to time. And there's power in just knowing the truth. The beauty and the breakthrough really occurs when we start to tell the truth about it. So where and when did you abandon yourself as it relates to this relationship or this breakup that you have on your heart tonight? Question number two. How can I show love and grace to myself today? You see, the one person that's always been there and isn't going anywhere is you. You can't outrun her, and she'll never leave you. So it's important that during this time, in the midst of or when you're considering a breakup, that you practice what I call radical self-care. Wrap yourself up in a bubble and know that that is a place for some period of time where you need to practice radical self-care. Every day, asking yourself the important question of how can I show love and grace to myself today? And you know how sometimes people will say when you're going through a hard time, well, just take it one day at a time. I don't want you to do that. I want you to take it one moment at a time. Because when you're in heartbreak, sometimes all we need to know is just right now, at this moment, am I okay? Because taking on more than that can feel like too much. So how can I show love and grace to myself in this moment? What would love feel like in this moment? If grace was present, what would it look like in this moment? How can I play more, smile more, laugh more? How can I be more myself in this moment? How can I find 10 minutes of me in my day to cultivate joy or be kind to somebody else? How can I, where's the me in my day? And people will tell me all the time, well, Sharon, I'm so busy. Okay. You're too busy to find 10 minutes for you in your day, or you can spend 24 hours feeling like crap. Where can I find stillness? And that can be a scary place when you're in heartbreak, but I promise you that's where some of the peace comes from. Even if it's only for a few minutes, you can take 2 minutes before, as you drive into the parking lot and you park your car for work, and you take 2 minutes of stillness before you walk into the office that day. There's always a few minutes. How can I show up more fully in my own life today? What's my body telling me that it needs right now? And am I listening? Does it need sleep? Does it need a deep breath? Does it need movement? Does it need whole, clean food, fresh air? What does it need? And are you listening? You see, honoring your body, honoring what it's telling you, is one of the ways that you can just show simple grace to yourself in that moment. Love and grace for yourself isn't numbing out by watching too much reality TV or getting lost in Facebook. It's not being with toxic people that just want to relive the past or bash everything that's wrong in their lives. It's wrapping yourself up in this warm blanket of compassion and asking yourself the question, how can I show myself love and grace now in this moment? All right, the third question. What do I need to give myself permission to do? So again, if you don't already have one, grab a piece of paper and a pen. And if you have one, draw some boxes on that paper. Just draw some rectangular boxes on there. 4, 5, 10, I don't care. Those are going to be your permission slips. Sounds crazy, right? But what do you need to give yourself permission to do to practice radical self-care during this time? Do you need to give yourself permission to allow love in again, to trust the energy of love again? Do you need to give yourself permission to stop grasping and controlling, just letting people and things be as they are without trying to change them, bend them, or mold them into what you need them to be? You need to give yourself the simple permission of just having a bad day occasionally, to feel what you need to feel and to grieve what you need to grieve. Because when a relationship is lost, that is a death. That's a death of a relationship. And sometimes it's a death of a dream that you had or that you had with somebody else. And so that needs time to grieve. Maybe you just need to give yourself permission to release what is no longer yours or what no longer serves you. What are the things that you need to give yourself permission to do? I'll share with you some of my permission slips. During my difficult time after my breakup, I had to give myself permission to be home alone by myself, even though it was incredibly uncomfortable. I had to stop forcing what isn't occurring naturally or organically, to stop judging myself and everybody else. I gave myself permission to remove the mask of perfection and allow others to really see me, even on those bad days. Gave myself permission to stop comparing myself and my situation to others. Permission to ask for what I need. Permission to treat my heart with the care and respect that it deserves and not just giving it away to anyone who's broken enough to pick it up and run with it. I gave myself permission to stop trying to change people. I gave myself permission to show up authentically as best as I can each day. And some days I was better than others. And I gave myself permission to just breathe, to take a breath. So what permission do you need to give yourself tonight? Just take a minute. Question number 4. Who do I need to forgive? This can be a tough one, so hear me out on this. Maybe you need to forgive yourself. You see, whenever a relationship breaks, we played some role in it. And I know that's hard to hear. But not honoring your needs, maybe accepting or accommodating more than you should have, abandoning yourself or someone else. I love the quote. Jane Fonda said this quote. We're not meant to be perfect. We're meant to be whole. So forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know then. I had a client I was working with all day yesterday, and we had a long conversation around forgive yourself for not seeing what you couldn't see then, but what you so clearly see now. So first, forgive yourself, because until you do that, you can't forgive anybody else. Secondly, forgive the person that you were or are in a relationship with. So they weren't what you needed. They couldn't be the person you needed them to be. Maybe they made mistakes. I believe that everyone does what they know how to do based upon where they're at in their journey. And sometimes where the disappointment creeps in is because we expect them to be further along on their journey than they really are. So think about that for a second. They did the best they could based upon what they knew at the time. And people will say to me, but he lied, he cheated, he left. Yeah, but that's where he's at. Likely still in a broken place himself. Maybe even at the very shallow end of his journey, but here's the truth. It's his journey, not yours. It's his to solve, it's not yours. And frankly, you have enough on your plate. You cannot solve all of yours and all of his and be big enough and bright enough and brave enough and courageous enough to handle both. That's his. Lastly, forgive everybody else. Forgive the other woman because you and I both know it's not about her. It has nothing to do with her. Forgive the friends who felt like they had to choose sides and the family members who judged you and make you feel like you're crazy or you're all alone. Who really are we to decide who's right or wrong, good or bad? Because all we see is we see it through the lens of our own experience. So that's our truth. That's what we know, our experience. But our experience is not everybody else's experience. So who are we to judge that? And once you forgive yourself and you forgive him, then you can forgive everybody else. And you can bless them in their journey. And that, my friends, as difficult and as prickly as that feels to do, and it does not condone what they did, and it doesn't make it right, it doesn't justify anything, it just frees you from the shackles of the pain that you're causing yourself. You've all heard it. Forgiveness is a gift you give yourself. This is why. You can stay in the pain and anger and bitterness, or you can turn your face towards the light, and I promise you that you will find a kind of peaceful freedom that you have never known before when you can answer the question, who do I need to forgive? And the last question, question number 5, what am I to learn? You see, just because we don't understand something right at this particular moment in time doesn't mean that it has no meaning. We are all teachers for one another. That person was or is in your life to teach you something that you were supposed to learn. So what was it? And you, by the way, were there to teach them something. See, we're all just energies on this world, just teaching each other. Not everyone has to be a jerk or a loser or a prince. I mean, maybe he was just placed in your life because he was the only one who could show you or bring that lesson to life for you. In my case, I had to be broken wide open in order for me to become the woman that I needed to become. I couldn't have done it staying hidden and safe in my marriage. That just wasn't part of my journey. If everyone's not a jerk or a prince or a loser, maybe he's just an energy that needed something from you. You see, when we can just stand back and ask the courageous questions of our lives, of what did I learn through that relationship? What did I learn from that love? And what did I learn about myself? That's when we can finally move forward in our journey and heal what needs to be healed. But if we don't learn, and here's the truth, I told you I'm a truth-telling life coach, if we don't learn what it is we're supposed to learn, it's just going to keep being presented to us again and again and again through different men in different forms, in different wrappers, in a different pair of pants. It's going to keep showing up until we learn it. And therefore, we won't be able to move on until we learn what it is we were supposed to learn. If you don't learn the lesson, what you're going to do is carry that baggage into the next relationship and the next one after that and the next one after that. And it's going to keep going on until you learn it. You know when you blow up a beach ball and you put all that air in it and then you're in a pool with it and you try to press it down under the water and you hold it there as long as you can, but what ultimately happens? It pops up, doesn't it? Usually at the most inopportune time is when it pops up. It doesn't stay suppressed. So you can't just squash these feelings and try to bypass the lesson, bypass the pain, and never learn from it because it's going to keep being presented to you. And it might be a whisper now. It might be a scream later. Don't know. Here is just an ounce of what I learned from my own journey. And maybe this will give you some hope. When I'm comfortable in my own skin, curves and all, I'm pretty fabulous. When the feelings that Michael awakened in me, when I discovered that those weren't dependent on him, those were mine. And if they were mine, then I could feel them again. They weren't dependent on him. You see, the other thing I learned is I don't have to have all the answers to have all the clarity that I need. I don't have to have absolute closure and make sense of all the nonsense in order for me to have the peace and clarity that I need. And the last thing I learned is that my love is big and precious and powerful. And as long as I felt unworthy, I was going to continue to attract men that weren't worthy of that kind of love. So until I felt it, I couldn't allow it into my life. So ask yourself the questions. Number one, what did I learn? And number two, what did I learn about myself? And it might take some time to get the answers, but I promise you it's worth it. I want to share with you a story about one of my clients that I will call Amy to keep her her story private, as it should be. Amy had been married for 14 years and has two children. And she became just incredibly disconnected with her workaholic husband and lonely, and was therefore vulnerable to finding herself in the arms of someone else, almost anyone else, because she was so lonely. It didn't matter. Whoever was going to come along. And so she had an affair, and she ended up falling in love with that man who actually was emotionally abusive to her and ended up breaking her heart. Her husband found out and is understandably hurt and mad and distrusting of her now. So Amy called me as she was ready to move on and ultimately release her marriage. But she didn't know how to do this without hurting her children, and she didn't know how to do it alone. And so that's where I came in. Amy, I will tell you, was courageous enough to do the work and to ask herself the hard questions that I just went through with you. Not just once, but as a practice in her life. What am I here to learn? Who do I need to forgive? How can I show myself love? Those are the types of questions that every day she showed. And her divorce is today, as I sit here, nearly final. Her children have, in fact, adjusted. And she and her ex-husband are able to speak about things concerning the kids without bringing all their personal pain into the conversation. And I believe that some of that was a result of Amy setting the tone and the example for how to do that, because other people mirror your energy. When you bring drama, they bring drama, and it just continues to escalate. But when you bring peace, every once in a while, the other person will surprise you, and they'll show you peace. So she is still single and working on loving herself before she jumps in the water with anybody else. Because she's had to mourn the loss of a 14-year marriage and the death of an intense and passionate relationship that served as both an escape and an awakening for her. She's not in a relationship yet, but I believe that when she is, it'll be with someone that she can love fully and completely, trusting her own judgment, honoring her own heart, without being subjected to emotional abuse, because she's no longer running. She's no longer searching, no longer feeling unworthy or abandoned or lonely. She's found love and compassion in her life because it's the same person that stares back at her in the mirror every morning. See, I don't know that anyone is proud of a breakup because we've come to make it mean that that's a failure. But if asked, I think Amy would tell you that you can get through it and you can be proud of the way you handled it when you look back on it. You see, there really is a way to have a compassionate breakup. There really is a way through the fire that is both self-loving and self-restoring. There really is a way to heal your heart and live in love. Now, I'm going to share with you 7 steps of my coaching program so that you can take it further, whether you choose to do it alone or do it with me. It does not matter to me, but just find the peace for yourself. So through the course of the last 45 minutes, you have essentially received the first session of my coaching package, and it's called Your Love Life Transformed. And that helps uncover the real cause of the breakup and the false beliefs that we keep that just keep us stuck. So my step number one is soulful truth-telling in a really compassionate, non-judgmental way. We can't change what we don't understand, so we have to begin with understanding what our past relationship and our current relationship and what we desire in a relationship. We have to tell the truth about it. So we shine a light in some dark corners. You see, fear loves to hide out in the darkness, and I love pulling it out into the light. Because once you pull it out into the light, it doesn't create any more damage. The second step is where I say, instead of shit happens, healing happens. When it comes to relationships, it is so easy to make assumptions about other people's motives and judgments about ourselves. Some of those assumptions and judgments play over and over in our heads, like it's a broken record, until we've convinced ourselves that they must be true. And so I'm going to show you why they're not. step three of the program, and again, you can do this on your own or you can do it with help, but I want you to have the information. So step three is recognizing and releasing our stories. So as you may know by now, I believe that the same lessons are going to continue to be presented to us again and again until we finally learn what it is that we need to know. So many times we unknowingly carry around whatever wasn't healed in one relationship right into the next one, all the while wondering why it is we can't find and sustain love, or we find love, but it's not the kind of love that we deserve. So we get to the bottom of those thoughts and beliefs that we've been carrying around with us for so long, so that they can ultimately be released and we can see other versions of the truth. Because once you know the truth, you can't unlearn it. Once you know something and you've learned something, you can't unknow it. So this tool is one that's going to stay with you for a lifetime. Step four is tapping into the wisdom of your soul. You see, most of us aren't very good at not knowing, are we? We like to solve problems. We like to have an answer for every question. And we like to ask everyone else their opinion. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? But we already have all the answers that we need. We've just not been taught how to access them. And once you know how to tap into your intuition, that gut instinct, the inner knowledge that we all have, whatever you want to call it, you'll know when love is real versus when love seems really real. And you'll gain the confidence that you need to trust others because you first learn to trust yourself. Because the truth is that until you trust yourself, you can't trust anybody else. Step five of the seven steps is love unlocked. So now that we've found the keys to your inner wisdom, both in love and in relationships, we begin using them to unlock all sorts of doors that had previously been closed. So if you want more love in your life, maybe you want to renew love. Maybe you just want to have the courage to open yourself up to love again. All of that is possible. You'll begin to see how you have calmed that pull that previously drew you into old feelings, old behaviors, and old thought patterns. Step six is claiming your superpower in relationships. So we will be discovering all of your unique gifts, the ways in which you express your beauty, and boldly claiming your superpower in relationships. And this is what you're going to bring to your current and future relationships. It's going to allow you to open yourself up to more love than you ever could have imagined. And we'll create a vision for your life that a few weeks ago was not even on the radar. It may even be something that you've been carrying around in your heart for many years, but we're afraid to ever speak the words of, for fear of maybe being disappointed or never really getting it. And the last step is showing up in love. And this is where we bring all the pieces of your transformed love life together, and we make commitments about what showing up in love will look like for you. And it's not commitments to me, it's commitments to you. We'll do some soulful truth-telling and ask ourselves, we'll ask the question of, what have you learned about yourself? And in making the commitments to yourself, about what actions you're going to take to live a life of abundance and authenticity and freedom in your love and in your life. Now, if you would like the opportunity to dig deeper into these questions and find your courage so that you can finally heal your heart and live in love, whether it's in a relationship or out of a relationship, I have opened up my calendar for the next 4 days to a limited number of what I call, they're free 30-minute, and I call them truth and clarity sessions that I'm making available to you. This is a free call. They're about 30 minutes in length, where I help you get the clarity that you need to understand how these questions can help move you forward and what you need in terms of resources and support to get you to the other side. So if that is something that you're interested in, there are two ways that you can do that. You can send me an email. My email is Sharon@SharonPopeTruth.com. Or within the next few hours, you're going to receive an email from me, and you can just reply to that email for a free Truth and Clarity session. And once I receive the inquiry, you'll receive a short application from me, and we'll schedule your session. Now, I am also offering, for those of you that are really interested in getting past the pain quickly, and I can explain this to you more in the Truth and Clarity session, I am offering the crash course, the Cliff Notes, the instant gratification version of this. So if you don't want to take 3 months to do it, I am offering a weekend breakup breakthrough immersion, and it's at the end of October. It's at the amazing Phoenician Resort in Scottsdale. And if you want to learn more about that, you can go to thebreakupbreakthrough.com, and you can find out more. Now, before you get off the phone, I want to end the call by providing you with at least two inspirational tools for your life. Because there's more, right? There's always more than just the five questions. So two more tools for you, for those of you that have stuck around to the end. And the first one is a game changer. It's just the simple act of saying thank you. In the midst of a storm, and during those times when you don't feel like there's much to be grateful for, say thank you. When you're thinking to yourself, I don't know where this is headed, or I don't know what's next, just say thank you for the experience. Thank you for the lesson that's always meant for my good. Thank you for the support I have. Thank you for this little crack, this little crevice of space where light can enter. And in an instant, on any given day, by doing that, you can change the trajectory of your journey by stopping, taking a deep breath, and simply saying, thank you. The second tool is the Freedom Manifesto. And I will send this to you in the follow-up email that you'll be getting from me. You can print it off, pin it on your wall, use it as a screensaver, use it as wallpaper, share it with your friends. I don't care. No one, as a life coach, people don't come to me and say, Sharon, I want more freedom. Show me how to do that. But the things that they say to me just tells me that what they're looking for is abundance and freedom. And what freedom looks like is you at your best. Freedom is a deep inner knowing of your own self-worth. Freedom is never placing anyone else's opinion higher than your own. And freedom is allowing others to really see us, even when it's a bad day, even when it's a completely imperfect moment, allowing people to really see us. So you'll get that in the follow-up email. We were created by love. And we were created for love. We all deserve love. And trying to deny it and bury it doesn't work for very long. So relationships break, and breakups create that small space where the light can enter if we will only allow it. So we can make the choice to shut down and not let the light in, sitting there in our anger and our pain and our bitterness, or we can turn our face towards that light. And my hope for you, with or without moving forward with me, is that you are going to bask in the warmth of that light. If you have any questions, please feel free to email those to me at Sharon@SharonPopeTruth.com, and I promise that I will respond to you within 24 hours. I will remain on the line. I know we're coming up on the time here, but I will remain on the line and open up the call for questions for anyone who wants that. I would just ask you to put your phone on mute because I unmute all of you at the same time. So I will stick around for a few questions if you have them. And for those of you that have to hop, thank you for being here. Thank you again for sharing your light with me. Whatever you end up doing, find your courage, heal your heart, and live in love. God bless.